Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. Earners, what's up? Look, I want to give y'all a little peek behind the curtain of producing Earn Your Leisure. It's a lot more than just sitting down and chatting. It involves meticulous planning, recording, editing, and then promoting each episode to ensure it reaches all of you. And if you picked up any of our merch, then you know there's a whole extra layer of logistics, from inventory management to shipping. Running a podcast is like running a small business. And speaking of business, I know many of you entrepreneurs are involved in e-commerce. You understand how crucial it is to streamline operations and cut costs wherever possible. That's why I want to talk to you about ShipStation, the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with all your online sales channels. It's all about optimizing your shipping, connecting with expert partners, and freeing up more of your time to focus on scaling your business. Now let's talk about our experience with ShipStation. This tool has been a game changer for us, especially with automating routine tasks. Being able to manage everything from one dashboard and print shipping labels with just a click, absolute lifesavers. Plus, the discounts we get on shipping costs are incredible. Honestly, it feels like we're saving thousands. And as our show and merch sales have grown, ShipStation's robust automation and reporting features have helped us keep up without missing a beat. For those of you who get overwhelmed by order volumes, ShipStation's easy-to-use dashboard is a dream come true. You can import orders from any sales channel, apply shipping preferences automatically, and handle customer service issues right there. Not to mention the savings with up to 89% off carrier rates like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's no wonder over 130,000 companies stick with ShipStation long term. So, are you ready to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities? Head over to ShipStation.com and use promo code EARN for a free 60-day trial. Again, that's ShipStation.com, promo code EARN. Start streamlining your shipping and scaling your business today.
What's the deal? The realest. What's going on, my brother? How you doing?
What's up with the God, man?
Lessons and opportunities.
Lessons and opportunities. That's correct.
Man, what's up with you?
Man, I'm sitting here in the studio right now. I'm gonna set this phone up. Hold on, we got it. in the podcast room because I knew I was talking to one of the kings of this shit.
Okay. Man, long time since we connected.
Yeah, man. You know, I've been busy. You've been busy. You've been hopping off flights and stuff like that. You know, probably been ones at that. So it's been hard to try to keep up with all that stuff, man.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. Now, it's a lot to talk about, man. You know, of course, we got Market Mondays live. This mm-hmm. huge event for the Midwest, but just in general, this is our last domestic stop. So, you know, we got Ian Dunlap, of course, myself, Troy, Ross Mack, and you were gracious enough to you know, have your time, spend some time with us. So we're going to have 19 keys in the building. So I want to talk about that for sure. Everybody in Chicago, make sure you get your tickets this Sunday night. But it's a lot of stuff that's happening, man. It's a lot of things that's been happening. And I feel like we haven't had a state of culture in a long time. And, you know, you talk about the fall of NFTs. You're talking about artificial intelligence. The recession. You're talking about Israel, Palestine, geopolitical climate that we're in. President Biden's on his way out there right now. So I feel like it's a lot. It's a lot of things that's happening currently in the world. So I thought it would be a good time to just have a open dialogue and let's talk about some few things if we can.
You threw out some heat just then, man. I think it's important during this time as we consider all of the relevant topics that each and every person, you know, take some time to slow down and digest life a little bit. Right, because there's so much thrown at us consistently. I wonder how much time do we have, you know, to think about our real personal times, right? Like, when do we have time to replenish our own soul and our own energy from the world? We got so much of the world in us, right? But how much of us do we have in the world, right? So if we can't cultivate within, because we deal with so much, every day is a news cycle, it's a new news issue, it's a new global issue, like you said, whether it's wars that's going on, whether it's disruptive technologies that's happening, you know, whether Jada Pinkett is killing the news cycle because she can't stop talking about her business. Like, we always bombarded with things that we didn't want to know, right? And I just really think about how much time do we have to develop on things that we should know and things that we need to know. Right. And I just want people to really focus on slowing down, because sometimes slowing down is the way you speed up, because you have to catch up to yourself before you can catch up to the world. Right. So I've been able to take some of that time, you know, in between traveling. You know, we coming to Chicago. We'll be in two states. People were trying to figure that was a mistake that day. I'm like, no, we leave in one state. Then we're going to Chicago later. Right. So that was on purpose. So we're going from South Carolina to Chicago. So we got like a cool little run that we about to do. We got LA coming up on the 28th. So it's going to be a one night only type of situation. I might get a tux for that. We might have a whole band over there. It's going to be something real special. So now let's get into the world a bit. I think we can start even with NFTs if you want to. That's the low hanging fruit, right?
Let's start with the NFTs. You know, you were the first person that told me about NFTs. Uh-huh. Been a strong proponent of NFTs, but we posted 2 weeks ago that like 95% of NFTs are now worthless, right? So mm-hmm. now people are saying, "Well, was this whole NFT thing a scam? Right? Was NFTs just something to just get people's money? Like, was it ever even built on anything?" People are nervous, people are scared, people are just a little like, you know, kind of like, what happened with this whole NFT thing? Nobody's talking about NFTs anymore. So what's the current state of NFTs?
So when I think about NFTs, I think about the technology. I think most people think about the market. And I always said that was going to be the issue, because people look at it as a market, a money-making market. Right, these things that you sell versus things that you use, right? So that most people still can't tell you what an NFT is, first of all. We gotta start there. The education is still low. People went through that whole thing and still don't know what the hell it is and don't know how to tell you how to use it. I was just having a conversation with somebody. We was talking about Beyonce and Taylor Swift, because I seen you know, Taylor Swift did $4 billion, and she dropped that movie. She cut out the middleman with direct to consumer, right? And we were just talking about how, you know, when you do concerts, you got Live Nation, you got to get them a cut from tickets. It's different negotiation powers when all these things come into play. And one of the use cases we talked about was NFTs for tickets. And the question was, is okay, if Beyonce, and this can be anybody, if she wanted to do the Taylor Swift thing and she wanted to cut out the middleman, where Taylor Swift cut out the studios, right? And for touring, it'd be like Live Nation or something like that, right? Not saying she wants to or she should or whatever, but just as an opportunity. And she said, I want to sell NFTs as tickets to my concert. Do you think that would have stopped people from buying those tickets? No. Everybody that wanted to go would have bought that. The only difference is she would have made money on secondary sales, right? So the ones that go out on gate and they flood the internet and everybody start buying them, then the secondary, right, she would have made money each time from royalties. That would have been the only difference. And they would have been verifiable. They could have scanned them at the door. So the opportunity of NFTs is always the same. It's how can you create, it's a disruptive technology that changes systems. It democratizes, you know, the way things are done, particularly when it comes to access and having secure transactions that can be verified. It was a unique way to utilize the blockchain. Now, if you go look at the top companies, ask yourself, what are they doing with them? They're still building infrastructure with NFTs, specifically like luxury companies, right? You go to maybe Prada, you go look at their certificate card, you're going to look on the back and they're going to talk about the NFT that basically is connected to this because this bag is connected to the blockchain. So therefore, they can make sure there's not counterfeit being done and there's a way to verify your bag. So if that bag has second market value, all they would have to do is look at the NFT to make sure it's not a counterfeit and it's real, because they have a huge issue with things like that. So then we go look at the projects that were of the 5% that did become successful. They became, you know, 8-figure and 9-figure brands, right? So you got to look at, I think we look at probably the wrong thing, because I got a video, I was just looking back on YouTube, and I looked at it. It was January 1st, 2000, it was either 2022, I believe. And it was the January 1st of the year. And I laced out what my prediction was for NFTs. I ain't even dropped the clip yet. I'd be waiting for people to talk more shit so I can drop more clips, right? But I said that 90% of them will fail, and then I broke down why, right? And when we understand anything, we look at things in like a silo, but NFTs went through the same thing everything in the world went through. Right, in the video I talked about the bubble of everything, the housing, the stocks, the everything went through a cycle. But NFTs being a newer player in the market went through what all new players in the market go through, a boom and bust cycle. Right? The question I always have for people is, do you want it to fail? Because when it's a disruptive technology that will benefit the people more, right, you don't want these things to fail, and you definitely never want to follow the media suggestion and the education that they give you. Because that could be payola that they're getting from companies that don't want to see, right, the market move too fast to where they can't innovate with it, and then they can't create a system where they can continue to take advantage of people. So, or whether they're taking advantage or not, it's just the way things are, but it's not the way things have to be. So blockchain, NFTs, and SBTs, which are soulbound tokens, they are being used to this day. Donald Trump did really well with them, and he's using that money to run for president, right? So the question is not about what the goddamn market did. It's about what you want to do with it. And that's always been the thing. Earn Your Leisure could have used NFTs as tickets for InvestFest if they wanted to, because people wanted to come. They didn't have to say NFTs. They could have just said virtual tickets, right? What digital memorabilia. People would have bought them. So why do we forget the creative agency and utility of things, and we start worrying about what the news say about the projects that fail, when they were supposed to fail because 80% of businesses fail? How many stocks are on the market that you wouldn't touch because they're not worth shit to you? How many penny stocks that we advise people don't fuck with? So in every market, I look at things from a very common sense, rational standpoint, right? And other people get caught up in the what the news is saying and these statistics as if they're a shocker, when they exactly what I said on the Breakfast Club. You know what I'm saying? And it's the reason why when I go on the biggest platform that I had been on at that time, as far as, you know, something outside of what we doing, because you know high level conversation, you know what I'm saying? But at that time, I'm gonna tell you, yeah, 80% of them are scams or going to fail. I didn't try to sell people the dream, because what we were trying to prepare you for the reality of it, so that you can see the technology for what it is. Don't get caught in the name, the buzz, who built what around it. The all question was always, what are you gonna build with it? Not what are you gonna buy from the market. So me, I'm still bullish on NFTs.
All right. So you're still bullish on NFTs. Okay.
Not an investment, as a utility. Okay.
So let's talk about, I want to talk about some geopolitical stuff, shall we? But I want to take it from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. I want to see, so Joseph Biden, President Biden, is on his way to Israel right now. And there's been reports that 2,000 U.S. troops are on standby, being ready to be deployed to the Middle East. The situation escalated, right? A hospital got today, 500 people died in a hospital. He was supposed to be, but the media in the Arab world, they all canceled their meeting with him right before his plane went off, because they said that they didn't want to meet with him since after the hospital got bombed. It was a very sensitive situation for them. So this is something that spills over to the American world economy and just the world in general, right? It's a very important topic. So I want to know, how do you see this impacting America, global economy? And what's your thoughts on the U.S. government's response so far? Mm.
First, we have to look at the history of when the state of Israel is a government, first of all. It's a regime, right? I think we have to look at it like that first. And it's funny to see people stand with different governments. Because even when people say free Palestine, they're talking about the people. They're not talking about the government, right? I don't know a history in the world where people cheer on a government, right? These government powers. Because when you do that, you're saying I'm in complete agreement with, you know, their beliefs, their rule, their power, their decisions, so you, right? The things that they do.
You can disagree with the government and it is not anti-Semitic. You're not disagreeing with the Jewish faith by not agreeing with the principles or just disagreeing with the government itself. That's what that's kind of
100%. These two are completely different, right? Zionism and the Zionist government is completely different than your conversations and beliefs around Jewish people. Right? We're talking about the state of Israel, right? It's a government. I don't know too many governments that I would just openly stand out and praise, right? I don't know too many governments that I would stand in the street, I will push the hashtag, anything, and be like, I stand with this government, right? I don't know any. This is the first time in history where I see this, when people say I stand with Israel, or basically the state of Israel, right? So this is a very interesting case. But also, everything that we see from this conflict, this war, the apartheid, whatever you want to call it, genocide, it's propaganda. And this is what you have to know first. We are dealing with an extreme propaganda machine today, right? You don't know what to believe, what you can't believe, right? Because you have to understand that even if something were true, in war, it's a digital war now where they're controlling your beliefs in your reality around it. Two people could be seeing two different things. They can employ whole bot farms to counteract information, whether it's true or not, because it's war. And this is what you have to understand, that these are all tactics being used. This is not speculation. This is what happens in war. It's been happening, right? Because it's what we learned from, you know, the Soviet Union. It's what they learned from the Germans, right? And those wartime tactics have been utilized for militaries for decades, right? If not centuries, per se. So when I look on social media, any news that I see, I say, okay, this is the propaganda. What do they want me to feel? What do they want me to believe? I start from there. It's not about facts or none of that, right? Because if that was the case, right, every news journalism, whether it was Al Jazeera, whether it was ABC, they would have the exact same news, but they got different headlines, different sensationalism, different way they point things out. But I digress from that point. I just want people to understand that in wartime, everything, every single thing is propaganda, right?
You make a good point. I want to just follow up before you go to your next point, because we talked about this on Market Mondays yesterday, and I think it's important for Earn Your Leisure to be neutral in a situation because we are a trusted news source, right? So try to not sway people's opinion in one way or another. Just state non-biased facts. And we was talking about Bill Ackman, right? And we were talking about when he, billionaire hedge fund manager, there was a Harvard student that wrote a letter that was criticizing the Israeli regime and pretty much blaming them for the violence that has happened in Gaza, right? And we used to having just kind of a back and forth. And Ian said something to me, and I didn't fully get a chance to respond. I thought about it today, but I didn't get a chance to respond to it yesterday. But he said, like, well, if somebody wrote a letter publicly praising the KKK, would you hire them? And I don't think that that's a fair analogy. Shout out to Ian, that's my brother. But I'm just using this because I think it's relevant to the conversation. I don't think that that's a fair analogy to compare a hate group to criticize government, right? If you're criticizing a government, they never praised Hamas in that letter. They were criticizing Israel. And I think that's extremely important for us to always have the ability to criticize a government, right? Like, whether you can agree with a government, but
right.
you can't be demonized. I think we start to walk a very dangerous line when we start to demonize people for criticizing a government. Like you said, governments have always been criticized since the beginning of time.
That's
right?
What the freedom of speech is for.
Right. Criticizing a government is not criticizing a group of people. Criticizing a government is not criticizing a religion. But when you start to link government with religion, that's when it becomes difficult. So if it's the Jewish state, now it could be like, okay, well, if I'm criticizing Israel, then I'm criticizing all Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's extremely important for us to kind of take down the emotions and just use logic. Everybody's entitled to their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
This is America. And so the comparison of the KKK, I don't think that's a fair comparison to make.
It's not a real comparison. And you know, shout out to Ian, but I think that one, it lacks full thought to make that comparison whatsoever. In America, we have a constitution. And, you know, the freedom of speech and the right to bear arms were specifically so that you don't get a tyrannical government that has so much power, right, that the people aren't free, right? The ability to criticize the government is what makes something a so-called democracy, right? These freedoms that we're supposed to have in America, and this is Harvard, right, the first school, so they're highly educated on these things, right? What you see is the real America, right? Like Martin Luther King said, you got two sides of America, right? And what they're saying is that, you know, if you don't side with me and my beliefs, right, we will target you and make you an example. That's what happens. But that's a very dangerous place, because then you get to this place of, you know, tyranny and rulership, right, where you can't even have a conversation about something besides it being labeled, right? And then we get to a dangerous place where this is where, you know, Germany once was, right? And so the conversation about Palestine and Hitler is a conversation, I mean, Palestine and Israel is a conversation where you look at the conflict for what it is, right? And when did it start, and you get educated on it? And if you were a Palestinian, what else are you supposed to do besides criticize, right, the nation that you believe took your lands, right, displaced you and committed apartheid has an apartheid state, and the American people are acting like this is a new conflict, right, because of the information that they've gotten about it, but they didn't know about the conflict that had been going on for years and the amount of civilians that have been killed. And it's like, you know, it's disheartening because it's not a religious conflict, right? There's many people in Israel that don't believe in God or not even, you know, or don't care anything about any of that. This is not about Muslims versus Jewish people. That's not what we're dealing with, right? This is a battle of ideology. This is a spiritual warfare that's going on. And you have to just be educated. Nobody has to tell you what to believe when you get the truth, right? And this is the problem, is that conversation allows you to have get to the truth, right? Because then you don't have to force nothing on anybody. But when you can't have that conversation, it stops you from getting to the truth, right? And now you have to go with what you feel. Oh, well, I got a Jewish friend, so I'm just going to support Israel. Or, nope, I got a Palestinian friend, so I'm going to support Palestinians. But for me, my whole conversation was always, who makes the decision? Right? Like, I don't make the decision over nothing that happens in Israel.
My thing is, I think you have to be extremely careful in lending support to any one group, because by lending support to one group, you're kind of isolating another group. Right. So like you said, like if Floyd Mayweather says, OK, I stand with Israel, we're standing with a government, and you march for at a Jewish center in L.A. and send a plane to Israel, that's your right. You can do that. But I think that now you have to answer questions when thousands of Palestinians die and you don't say anything. So is Israeli life worth more than a Palestinian life? Are your
That's what happens when you dehumanize the people.
Well. And I think that that's also happens when you think from a one-sided perspective, or when you value your business relationships more than humanity.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, we know that's all business, because he never cared about any black issues. So all of a sudden, for him to send a plane, I didn't know Floyd got political. Floyd was the always, I don't know nothing about that, I love everybody type of person, but he took this personal. You know what I'm saying? And I've never seen him take any of the political issues that happen in the streets of America personal. I just haven't seen that. So, and then also, I don't know what he can do for them when, you know, they got as much money as they need. They have the political and financial might and backing of the United States of America. That was just propaganda that he was doing. That was just to show his support. But I'm 100% sure he's not educated. Not from a both side perspective. He don't know how to go back into it. He don't know how to speak on international crimes. He don't know how to speak on apartheid. He don't know how to speak on Belfort. He don't know how to go and, you know, actually speak from an educated place about what's happening around the world. And this is why Muhammad Ali will always be great, because he was educated before he spoke. And he stood on integrity, right? And that's why Muhammad Ali is the blueprint. Right, for athletes, that's where I can measure your degree of integrity based on, like, from, you know, one to Muhammad Ali, where do you rank in there? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the same thing with, like, you would say from a thought leader, if you will, from one to Malcolm X, where do you rank in there, right? So we have these metrics, and most people, celebrities and entertainers, they fall short until, you know, they're told what to do, and the people feel that. Right? It's one thing with being honest about it, saying, I don't know much about it. I do have friends that's on one side of the conflict, and this is where my loyalties fall, because this is the way I'm set up. Right? So for me, you know, the hashtag Free Palestine was always a simple one to connect with, because you're saying these are people that are oppressed. Right? I've been to South Africa before. I see what apartheid does. Right? You're saying that these people are oppressed and displaced from their land. So it was like, okay. This makes sense. Then we have a history where I was getting to point number two of, you know, black activists protesting against the training of police by the Israeli forces, because the taxes that they use on Palestinians are used on black people, which is what created the climate for Black Lives Matter. Because those are the same people that trained against that police force that was dealing with in Ferguson. And it's the same fight that they're trying to have in Atlanta, where they're trying to stop police city or something of that nature. So it's like the fight is intertwined from a, we don't like this government and their transactions with our government, especially when it trickles down to the oppressed class in America and the fight that we have against these regimes and the things of that nature. So there's There's a lot of synergy, right? I remember the Palestinian people took to the street and they were saying Black Lives Matter. So we had some synergy with those folks, right? That's just the reality, Cop City. So I'm 100% sure he's not educated on those type of things, right? So you don't know how these things trickle to your own people. I remember when Obama was disrespected by Benjamin Netanyahu, right? There's so many different things that if you don't even know the history of something and you're jumping in the middle, you don't know how to properly choose a side, right?
Well, that's why I think it's important for celebrities to I'm a proponent of I'm not mad when somebody doesn't speak. Like people have Drake to speak.
Like what Vlad said about Drake and DJ Khaled.
I'm not somebody that's like always looking for a celebrity to speak, because I feel like sometimes it's better to remain neutral for a variety of different standpoints. If you know that you want to maintain your relationships, then you shouldn't say anything. If you know that you're not fully educated to speak, then you shouldn't say anything, right? Like I think sometimes it's better to be silent, because like Justin Bieber, he put a thing up and said, you know, pray for Israel with a picture of Palestine. So I feel like, you know, you can end up embarrassing yourself.
Yeah. I think Jody Foster did the same thing.
It's dangerous, right? You have a lot of influence. So it's like if you don't fully know what you're talking about, then sometimes it's okay to say anything. That's okay too. But I also feel like this is interesting. I don't want to harbor on the Palestine-Israel conflict, because you can do your enough research to have your own personal opinion. But it does lead to a variety of other things that's interesting in media. Like we're in media now, so like I'm paying more attention to media. So I'm seeing how even media changes the narrative and how media is so important. So it's interesting, like this hospital bombing that happened today, right? So a hospital was in Gaza. I think over 500 people would die. So when it first happened, every media outlet, New York Times, LA Times, Forbes, you name it, they all had the same thing. Israeli airstrike hits Gaza hospital, 500 people dead. It was universal headline. Associated Press, everybody. Then they started to change the headline to Palestinian authorities say Israel has struck a hospital with 500 civilians. Then the story changed again when it was saying that bomb hit hospital, 500 people dead. And then it was everybody's blaming each other. Israel saying a bomb came from Hamas, mm-hmm. and he is blaming Israel. And the Israeli, I don't want to misfeel anyone, but somebody, a high ranking Israeli press person, actually, when the bomb first hit, they actually reported that it was an Israeli strike. Then they took that tweet down. And a few days ago, Israel actually openly gave a warning to all hospitals to evacuate, which is kind of difficult to evacuate a hospital. I'm not sure how you do that. And then the BBC actually reported that the Palestinians, Hamas, they don't even have the technology to actually pull that type of that bomb. They don't have a bomb powerful enough to blow up a hospital,
yeah.
to their understanding. But it's interesting to see. We still don't know. I don't know exactly what happened, so I don't want to speak from a definite.
That's the idea to confuse you. You don't know the truth. The truth is buried in confusion.
But you see how a narrative can change intraday. Like I said, I was watching it because I'm actually in the media.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody purposely changed this narrative, right? On purpose. And like I said, I don't know what happened. But it's just interesting to see how a news story can start at 10 o'clock, change by 8 o'clock, and that actually influences and changes people's mind. Now, nobody even knows what happened, but now you already have people that already made up their mind of what happened. They're like, well, Hamas did it, and da-da-da-da. So it's just interesting to see how powerful media is. It's almost hard to explain the power of media. It's very difficult because like, I'm in it. I'm in it now, so I can see it from a different perspective. Like I'm seeing it from the inside, but I could tell you media is the most powerful thing in the world. It influences people, but you can't fully understand it because you're getting trained by media. But everything you see, nobody really questions anything that they see, mm-hmm. right? And even on the alternative, like let's say you're one of those people that are like anti everything, and somebody's influencing that, right? There's the conspiracy. Well, you're taking your information. Everybody's getting information from somebody. Right. And
source.
Nobody knows. If you really think about it, none of us know anything, right? We're all getting information from somebody, unless you were actually physically there in person, which the vast majority of people aren't. I'm just talking about life, just life in general. Very few people have firsthand information. 99.9% of the population, when it comes to everything in life, you're getting fed information from somebody that's giving you the information. You can only question so much. At a certain point, you just believe it. You have to have faith to believe what you're hearing is true, mm-hmm. right? And you start to realize how dangerous that is when you see things that are not true being said and everybody's just accepting it. So then you start to question everything, right? Because then you become very paranoid. You start to question everything because once you see one lie, now you start, it's like being in a relationship. Once somebody lies to you once, everything is on the table,
yeah.
right? That's an important conversation that's not had enough because, like I said, this is just one thing, but that's like true in everything in life where it's like these media corporations, CNBC, CNN, like they're extremely powerful. And what they say is law.
And that's what makes this situation in this time and age different is because, and this is the reason why if I have a strategy and I say, listen, all right, this is what we want to get done. This is my campaign. I want to go take over some part of Europe somewhere. Let's say I want Rome to myself. I want the Colosseum, all right? You know, I want Greece as well because I feel like black people were the original Greeks and stuff, and those stories were about us. So I want to go over there. I want to take this over. Now, when I do, right, of course people will be like, wait a minute, you can't just go over there and get rid of the Greeks people. Where the hell they go stay, right? Now, I don't want you to get the facts. I don't want you to get the news, right? What I want to do is create a narrative to where you can feel and be on my side, right? So what we would end up doing is I will get, of course, all the most influential people that you trust and the people that you love, right? You get the biggest people in the world, right? Because the issue is that people can go through independent media, which is social media, right? It's a social feed of collective information gathering, but then your algorithm is biased towards what you already look to, so you're not getting pieces from all over the world, right? But I know the followers, the celebrities you followed, he got 500 million people, they got 80 million people, they got 70. So I get a collection of people to where I can buy their influence, right? These are my new sources, right? So instead of you going to the news, which a lot of people don't watch the news anymore, you may see a little, you may see, you know, CNBC clip on your social media feed, but you're not sitting in front of the TV watching that shit, right? So you can't even use the news in the same way you used to. You can use that for middle America, older people that still sit at home and watch it, but you're not using that for younger people to believe it, and youngest people are the ones who oppose war the most, right? In every era, young people are the ones, the college students, those be the most radical people against war, because those be the ones you in that era of thinking for yourself, rebelling against the system. So I can't go to the news. So in order for me to have the type of power that I usually have during these type of situations, I have to go to the newsmakers, which are now the influencers, right? I don't need the influencer to know that much. I don't need you to be goddamn asking questions. Don't be asking me to educate you. This is what I need you to say and just put it out there. Right? You want this deal? You want to come to these parties? You want to kick it with us? You want to be on my team? Rock with me. Right? That's it. Don't ask no questions. And it's like, you can ask questions and you can deny it, but they can deny you as well. So that becomes a system that you have to make sure that your will is always done. Right? And this is just a simple strategy. It's not even that crazy. It makes a lot of sense. So if the Palestinian people were to employ this strategy, where the Israeli people employs this strategy, this is how the information gets to your desk, right? To where you now don't know what reality is. You just know what you feel from the sources that you've gotten. And the thing is we live in a time where we got AI, we got Google, we got YouTube, we got so many sources. You can literally go on AI and say, can you give me an overview breakdown, high level of this whole situation? And I need you to be completely non-biased when you present the information, right? It'll give you a timeline, right, from beginning to now. And that's like in 30 seconds. And you can read that one pager and be refreshed on a high level of events that have occurred, right? So it's very hard if a person starts to think for themselves. And this is what we try to get people to stop doing, is thinking when you want to control the people. Don't think too much, right? Anybody, you, it's like even with your children, you want them to do something, you know what I'm saying? And they start sitting there thinking whether they want to do it, why they should do it. They start questioning you, bro, you're doing too much. Just listen. You don't want your soldiers and your drones overthinking. You want them to just doing what the hell you say. And this is what governments are trying to get to, like China. China don't have that problem. China says, we don't pay you to think. You're doing way too much. This is what we go do. We're not asking you to vote. Governments around the world are jealous of China because China is a superpower, right? They're getting all that money, China and India, and they have a different level of consent, or they don't need the consent to have the control that they have. And financially, they're building an empire, right, in a time where it's harder and harder because technology is dividing all these people into groups based on their sources. So when these major sources used to be the way where they can control, it becomes harder because it's fragmented. So now they got to figure out new ways to do it. And the most dangerous thing about all of this is that they got the technology to do it. The AI, right? The quantum computers. You got to watch the newest Mission Impossible. They speak on this very well about this entity of this AI that has the ability to manipulate. It can take, it can doctor footage. It can create whatever it wants to. You don't know what you're looking at. So anything that comes from your screen, you can't truly believe that it's real anymore. And that's going to be so dangerous because then you're going to go to your trusted sources, right? And then it's going to make you not question them. And then you don't know when they're manipulating you. So regardless, whether, no matter who you are, if I don't care what side of what turmoil or what issue in the world you find yourself on, when you stop questioning the source, then you believe anything. Right. And you can't call yourself a good person. Right. If you say, all right, well, because I am a part of this construct of belief. Right. Then anybody that opposes me, we're justified in destroying them. That's not what good people do. You know what I'm saying? I don't care what side you can come from. Besides, when it's in war and somebody comes in your house, the justification is, all right, I got to get you out of my crib. Right. That's called standing ground. People do that in their own households. But when you're trying to apply that to global situations, yes, things are always complicated. America's complicated. We bombed Iraq. There was a lot of, and it had no WMDs at all, right? We found that out. But Michelle Obama was taking candy out of Bush's hand and eating it. And he's still a sweetheart to the black community to this day, right? Joe Biden was locking up Negroes. So was Bill Clinton. And Hillary Clinton, problem.
Who would you say was a sweetheart to the black community?
George Bush.
The second one?
The junior, the one that used to play dumb on TV, that Kanye said he didn't like black people?
I don't.
The reason I say that, you got to go on. I was looking at Shade Room, I think.
I don't.
I'm not talking about the intelligentsia, the smart people. Talking about, so it was a moment where I think it was Michelle Obama, she was grabbing candy out of his hand, she was eating, and I just looking at the comments, they was like, oh, look at their friendship, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, did y'all forget?
Well, people have short-term memories, but yeah. You got to remember, George Bush, probably the worst president in American history.
Mm-hmm. They say Trump is, though.
Well, that brings me to my next talking point. I was in a barbershop. I was having a conversation with some of the good brothers in the barbershop. We were saying, like, what's the money line on Trump becoming next president? Like, what's the odds? I don't see how he doesn't get reelected or elected. He's not going to get reelected because he's not serving right now. But I personally don't see how Donald Trump is not the next president of the United States. And I've done this like strategically, like I went through the calculations on this. I don't see how he is not the next.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have much challenge. And the way Biden is setting things up, he's setting it for a great goal. Biden is on TV talking about, we are the greatest nation in the history of the planet Earth. And we can, you know, fund two wars. That's the last thing American people want to hear. Wow, they got the interest rates are high. The goddamn inflation is 3,000%. You know what I'm saying? People are not happy. There's a fucking credit crisis on the rise, right? America is not booming. And he talking about he wants to fund two wars. That's like, imagine your pops talking. Y'all struggling. Y'all can barely eat. And he talking about, look, I got two other families we about to take care of.
Bro, here's the thing. I see a lot of Trump minus 300, Trump minus 400. Here's the thing. Here's the reason why that's for like betting numbers for the people that's not familiar with like sports betting. Here's the thing that why I think that Trump has a good chance of winning. When the last election, I think he had like 55 million votes, right? That was the second most votes in American history. Joe Biden got the most votes in American history because he won. But I feel like Joe Biden doesn't have any core supporters. Nobody's passionate about Joe Biden. I've never seen a rally.
Be passionate about Sleepy Joe.
I feel like they were voting for him as an alternative because they hated Trump or they were scared of Trump. Now, the opposite is that there are millions of people that are passionate about Donald Trump. He's developed a extremely loyal support base that has shown extreme resilience. I think with him going through all of these legal issues, that's just made him even stronger and made him even a more folk hero of sorts. He's using this as like, look, he's pretty much like Teflon Don, right?
Yeah.
And they're even more supportive now, because now he's going to play the whole, you know, I'm the underdog. They tried to cancel me. They tried to arrest me. They tried to hit me with the Fed charges and all that. And I think that he rallies more support. I think Joseph Biden has done a bad job as far as getting support over the last 4 years or 3 years of his presidency. So I think we're going to see a lot of people voter suppression. I think a lot of people are not going to vote, right?
Yeah. I mean, or how can you create a campaign around them?
Or they're going to vote third party. They're going to vote for Kennedy. They're going to vote for like third party candidates, which essentially takes like the other barber in my barbershop. He said he's going to vote for Kennedy. Well, I said, well, that's a vote for Trump, essentially. And he said, yeah, I appreciate that, but I morally, I can't vote for Joe Biden. I'm not going to vote for Trump, so I'm going to vote for Kennedy. So the more people that don't vote or vote for third parties, that's a vote for Trump. And I think that this is going to be a historic situation when we're going to have Donald Trump as the next president.
I know who I'm voting for.
Kanye?
Mike Pence.
You going to vote for Mike Pence?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Why would you vote for Mike Pence?
Because I think he going to take America skyrocket up economically.
The governor from Indiana?
No. The brother of billions.
Okay.
Yeah, you ain't never seen Billions.
Watch the show.
You gotta watch the dumb season, man.
I was
no, those who know, know.
Okay. I was a little concerned.
Yeah, I gotta excuse me, man. I'm having a good day.
Who's gonna be the next president?
I mean, if I was a betting man, right, I would say Donald Trump, because I don't really see a way for him to lose, right? The question is, how do you beat Trump? It's not now, how does he win, right? And going for the base that Biden had at first, their biggest thing was, hey, we're going to have a first black woman in office, right? So you get a huge black woman vote for that. You got black people that rally behind that. He said, if you don't vote for him, you're not black. He can't come with that same thing.
How's that work? How's that working out? How do you think that's?
You know, there are some people that's on the payroll of the Democrats to tell you that it's working. They ain't sent me no checks, so I'm going to tell you it's not working. You know what I'm saying? I don't think Donald Trump, like, I don't feel the Biden president improving any aspect of American life whatsoever.
So Kamala Harris, you don't think that, you're not impressed with her at all?
Well, shit, I barely really see. I think she had a party there at the White House with some rappers. I think that's about as most of I heard from her throughout the time that she's been in office. But I barely see Kamala. I feel like, yeah, I don't know what Kamala be doing. Like as a vice president, I almost call her first lady because I be forgetting she the vice president. I feel like she don't really be doing nothing. She like that backup singer that don't be singing for real. You know what I'm saying? Like she's supposed to at least have Joe back. I want to see her in more press conferences. She's supposed to be up there doing her thing. But she ain't even got Joe back. Maybe that's why he not doing so good, because he got a black woman on his team that ain't out there doing nothing for him. Like, imagine that. You got a whole black woman on your team. She ain't out there doing nothing. You feel me? Like, where's she wasn't at the Beyonce concert, nothing. Like, Kamala is missing all the black woman bag the whole time she's supposed to be in. She's supposed to be like, I'm a black woman in the White House. She's supposed to be going live. We don't see nothing from Kamala.
Well, she's been on HBCU tour with our good friend Terrence J. They've been doing HBCU tours. Mm-hmm. But she's been hitting the ground. She's been doing a lot of
The moments went viral. I ain't seen no. Michelle would have been viral, and she was just first lady. Michelle would have been stepping ski wind with the AKAs. She would have did something that made her viral. She been going to these HBCUs, and them students ain't posted one picture.
You bring up a good point.
I go viral. If I do an HBCU tour, everybody gonna know about it. You know what I'm saying? I didn't even miss seeing Terrence J on my timeline no more since he started that tour with him.
Shout out to Terrence J. That's my guy.
I'm just speaking facts, man. That's all I can do. That's the language that I know. It's facts.
Let me ask you this. How do you see black people in America moving forward, right? You're not a big fan of the political structure, obviously. I don't believe that you're the type of person that has too much faith in like Wall Street or the traditional banking system or government at all. What's your pathway for black people in America to improve the situation?
Before I got on this call with you, I was talking to a brother about working systems, right? Because he was asking me about broken systems. And I said, we're not dealing with broken systems, we're dealing with working systems, right? And the pathway towards, you know, a better future is to create your own systems, right? We talk about getting out of the system. No, once you get out of something, you have to go into something. You have to go into your own system. The first pillar of this, because we talk about reparations, the first pillar of reparations is education to me. Oh, excuse me. Fixing the education gap, right, that we have. Because when you know what to do, you can do it, right? And then when you know what to do and you get the funds, there's nothing stopping you. Our issues is that we don't have any systems, right? So starting right now, like we talk about media, building media systems so that people can say, hey, when there's something that goes on in the world, I want to go to this source for my information. That becomes a funnel to real decisions you make in reality, right? So we need our own media system, right? Education system. We complain about DeSantis and him wanting to write history, and he wanted basically, you know, whitewash the hell out of everything. Things that don't even need to be whitewashed. He's just ready to whitewash everything. But that's because he controls the education system. So that means that, okay, we need a funnel for children to get our version of reality so that they can grow up and then they can pass on the ideas and build on things that we want. So media, education are the biggest pillars for me, right? Because media controls what we know, think, and see, and believe about the world, right? And then education controls what we can do and how we can build our own world, right? So for me, if you can educate people out of poverty, right? You can educate people, you know, out of the effects of racism. You can educate people on systems to how to deal with the system. So it's not like so much that I need to have rallies against the system. I just need to teach you how it works, right? When I use the analogy, if you go into a bank branch and you start complaining about the banking system, the manager can't do shit. Can't do nothing, because that's a branch. That's not the root of the problem. The root is the system. If you're talking about your body, you have an immune system. When one thing is not working, that's not the only issue. It's when multiple things not working, the system is not working, right? So for us, we have to get to a point where we're building media systems, EYL, high-level media. These are very important, right, in the creating an ecosystem and having a system. And these things that need to be heavily funded to be backed as billion-dollar systems. I see Griot, I see Mark Lamont Hill breaking it down where he feels like his voice can be free and he can speak the way he wants to because he has a media channel, but he was fired from them other folks at first. But there's a black man that owns that, so he gives him the opportunity to be that voice, right? Without that, you don't get that voice at all, right? So we talk about creating systems so that we can have control over industries versus complaining about working systems. Y'all talked about that sister and the brother who bought that bank. We complained about that system when we would see whites buy black businesses and they become white owned. I always thought about the blueprint is in front of us. Why don't we just operate in the same way instead of complaining about working systems, right? There are so many different ways to, you know, have remedies to take yourself out of systems, but you can't do none of them without education.
Did you watch the Van Jones interview that we did?
No, I've seen clips. I didn't watch the whole thing yet.
Insightful. If you get a chance, I highly suggest and you check it.
Just one thing I want to say on that. What Jeff Bezos did for Van Jones was probably like, and I don't know, and from what I hear, there's no stipulations on the money from what I, my tidbit of knowledge that I've got on that. But it was one of the, like, one of the most revolutionary acts that I've ever seen, right? Taking it, because it's a novel idea. You're a billionaire or a decamillionaire, and you say, that activist right there, I'm going to give him $100 million, no strings attached, for him to fight his fight. That's the unintended, I talked to my brother Keenan about this, the unintended wealth group, right? This unintended wealth group is the people that operate in this new money matrix that make money off new disruptive technologies, industries that form, and all of a sudden, their minds are now funded. Now, because their minds are funded, think about it. The crypto minds that got funded, the new tech minds that got funded, they can lobby now. You start to see their ideas in the world. You start to see things change. People dress in different ways. People don't realize it's because it's new money that is entering, and now they can fund their thoughts. So if somebody said early on, not that you all need it, but, you know, maybe a time you want to take in billions. Rashad and Troy is doing is amazing. Hey. I'm a billionaire, at least got access to billions. What happens if we just give them some funds and see what they build, right? We don't have that because benefactors, right, in our community. So we don't see brilliance and then put funding behind it so that that brilliance can grow and develop. We don't do that. Our brilliance is bought by every other community. So you see a kid that has a Mensa score, and all of a sudden now they're working for a system. So for me, it's that. It's building systems, taking the working systems and have them work for us, knowing the systems and learning how to work within it, right? And I believe education frees us, but the problem is most of us don't know how to think.
Well, for sure. And well, get your tickets to Market Mondays Chicago this Sunday, 19 Keys, Ian Dunlap, myself, Troy, Ross Mack, and we got some other surprises. We invade in Chicago. It's the last stop on our world tour. You know, we went global. We went from LA to London to Toronto, Chicago, and we're gonna end the year in Ghana. Quite important. Very important.
Hey, speaking of Ghana. My brother Freedom had hit me, and he sent me over the picture about, you know, when the government said that people don't have to have their visas and things of that nature. So, you know, that's You know, that's because we put that conversation out there heavy.
Well, it's important. It's important to you can never dis. So that's why Van Jones' situation, right? Because in Van Jones, one of the most insightful things that he said was that there's four corners of power in America. He said that political power in Washington, D.C. And he said black people have actually been doing good with the political power. As far as there's a lot of black lawyers. Seven, I believe, of the top 10 cities in America, population-wise, have black mayors. We had a black president. We're making a lot of inroads politically. Mm. But he said that all of the other three corners of the world is where we struggle. New York City, Wall Street, finance capital. He was like, very few black people, little power. Little power. We went to Wall Street. I think there was two black people on the street floor. Shout out to the Einstein of Wall Street. He took us to the Wall Street, like the actual trading floor. Two black, one was like just started. Two. Mm. literally two. So he was like, finance is something that we underrepresented. And then another corner of power across the country, Silicon Valley tech. We know that we are very unproportional in tech, from tech startups to and then the last corner of power was in LA, which is media, Hollywood, entertainment, right? As far as ownership, media ownership. He's like, we are represented in entertainment and media as far as personalities, but we have very few ownership at a high level, like a Tyler Perry, like a Oprah, or even higher than that, right? And that, so a lot of times people even criticizing them like, well, what are you doing? You're just talking. Well, that's important because media is actually one of the most important parts of any society. Mm-hmm. And being able to educate people, inform people, and shape people's attention is actually vitally important.
Right.
And this is from him. This is his perspective, not just my perspective because I'm in media. So being able to tell the story, being able to have a trusted voice, being able to educate people, being able to have positive propaganda, and being non-biased in a variety of different things, that's important. So I think that, you know, these are all areas that I think we all need levels of improvement, and different people need to do different things because everybody's going to have a different skill set. Like, you might be very good at tech, and you might not know anything about investing, or you might be very good at investing and not having, you can't be able to speak properly, so you have as a media, or you might have a media mind, right? But when you start to connect all the dots and now you start to work interconnective with each other, I think that that's important. So it's vitally important that the top work together. So the Robert Smith has to work with Tyler Perry, has to work with President Obama. But like now, once you get the top, now you start to really have a cohesive unit where we can actually move things forward. Not just at the top, but on the ground level as well. But that's always important for people to fully understand. Focus on what's important, and you got to focus on what pays. Lil Wayne said that. That's a great ball. Focus on what pays. A lot of times in our community, we focus on things that aren't really vitally important, or they're not like moving the needle. These are things that technology, media, government, and finances. That's important. If we can start to focus on those things and climb up those ranks and work with each other in those fields, now we have some level of upward mobility.
Mm-hmm. This is a fact. And, you know, I think Dr. Claude Anderson did a good job in talking about that as well. And, you know, I think what we have to be is we have to be patient and thinking about the time it takes for us to have that power. And we've been fortunate enough that disruptive technologies have come and changed the landscape, which gave us even greater opportunities to grab hold of power, right? And so this is why I've always been a proponent of teaching technology, not pushing it, teaching it, because I always wanted people to be able to exploit the opportunities that come during these shifts, right? And so if social media and the internet didn't come, you can complain about it all you want to. But if it didn't come, we wouldn't be able to take advantage of being able to start the media, right? Systems and industries that we now want to have ownership of, right? If we didn't have the ability to create courses online where we can educate people outside the education system, right? We can change the dynamics of information that flows through the household and skills that get developed. So we really have to appreciate the fact that we're living in one of the greatest times to create the change, right? And grab hold of the reins of power to have equity in this world and equalize the playing field. So I wholeheartedly am always thinking, and I stay up at night thinking about how to take advantage of this lucky time that I was born in. It's always gonna be things that I don't like, but it's always beautiful things that happen. One of my great quotes, if you pay attention to the devil too much, you starve God.
No, that's a fact. And I think that, so it's important to like, so somebody had wrote in the comments, I'm trying to find it, but he said, that sounds good, but black people are being boxed out of all different areas.
Box yourself in then.
Well, I can speak from a personal perspective. I can't speak from my personal perspective. We started a company with a cell phone with no startup budget, which in 5 years grows into a multi-million dollar operation. We're able to do events large scale. 20,000 people at InvestFest and connect with people in London and Toronto, go to Africa and be able to reach millions of people. 19 Keys has a show where he reaches millions. He gets, this is more views than CNN gets. It's on par with cable television, right?
Say that again. What'd you say? What'd you say that again?
No, I'm saying this is more views than with CNN. That's a fact. Like this yeah. is on par or more. Than cable television. So I'm not gonna say that worked for every single person, but well, that's what we did.
The opportunity is there.
So what are you gonna do? Technology has empowered everybody. And like you said, it has leveled the playing field enough to compete. It's never gonna be a level playing field. You black in America. When it's sunny, you gotta go outside with an umbrella because anything can happen if you're a black person. Mm. So it's never gonna be a level playing field, but at least it's level you to play.
Mm-hmm. So, and if you never start playing, you never know how good you can be at the game.
If we're only going to make excuses, then it's a 100% chance of no improvement. That's a 100% chance of no improvement. If you never try and you only have excuses and you're only going to blame other people forever, then you have a 100% chance of doing nothing. I can't guarantee that you're going to be successful. I can't guarantee that you're going to be earning your leisure at 19 Keys. But
if you're not going to be.
If you try, you have an opportunity to be great. But if you don't try and you're a constant critic, then you have no opportunity at all. And you are 100% going to be a failure. Mm-hmm. So it's important.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, I'm going to see y'all in Chicago for those that's out there. I'm going to see y'all in L.A., you know, for those that want to pull up. I believe that you doing your part, I'm doing my part. Out of 45 million black people in America, I think we're doing a tremendous job. It's not our job to do everything. And when the person, what they do is they don't acknowledge what you're doing. They try to acknowledge what you're not doing. Right? It's always going to be more we're not doing than we're doing. Because in the world of doing everything, you can only do what you can get done.
That's a fact.
So always look at that as a mute point. Like, of course, there's a lot of shit I'm not doing because I'm doing this. And in order to get good at this, when it didn't run in the family, I didn't have funding for it. It wasn't a skill set that was passed down. It's first generation self-education. Right? That comes with trials, tribulations, it comes with mistakes, it comes with getting better, it comes with developing experience, it comes with learning. There's so much that comes along with it. These are new industries that we're learning on side of you all, and you all are able to take this journey with us to continue to learn. Right? That's a very powerful thing to even be able to witness. Right? To witness my brother up here, to witness me, and witness other peers of us that go out there and we're operating in this place of learning. It's completely different. It's the reason why out of billions of people on the planet, only a few start to get it done. So you have to figure out, all right, they're doing that. How can I add on to that or do something similar to complement what's being built out, right? This is how you become a part of a thing that becomes a system, right? So for me, a lot of people, you know, being able to look at the faults of others only allows you to be able to ignore your own faults. That's it. You just, it's just the time you get to spend not focusing on self. I understand that. But what my brother's doing with EYL, what we've done with high-level media, high-level conversations and things of that nature, all you can do is tip your hat and then allow us to grow into whatever next stage of development that this becomes, because it's going to take time, right? So first of all, you know, I love these state of the coaches. It allows us to have a long stream of thought and conversation. This was a very, you know, dicey conversation that can go into many different elements. And I don't pretend to be a person to know everything. I don't pretend to be a person that even wants to know everything. I know I'm a learning man, right? And on that journey of learning, I want to fail forward, right? I want to try things that I haven't seen done yet. I want to enter space that I haven't seen enter yet. I want to do the thing that haven't been done yet. So therefore, we can get to a place that we've never been, right? You kick down doors, we kick down doors, and other people get to walk in that. And everybody else's job is either to complement that, support that, or ignore it. That's it.
For sure.
Right?
For sure. Another state of the coach, ladies and gentlemen, tickets Midwest, Chicago. We will be in your area Sunday, 19 Keys. 19 Keys will be in the building. Ian Dunlap will be in the building. Ernie Leisure will be in the building. Ross Mack, a bunch of other surprises. We're going to be talking about real estate. We're going to be talking about we've been talking about stocks, trading, you know, the whole thing. This is the final leg of Market Mondays World Tour, the legendary Market Mondays World Tour. So be in the building. Can't wait to see everybody. Chicago, one of my favorite cities, a beautiful, beautiful city with great energy and great people. So click the link that's pinned right there. Get your tickets to Chicago this Sunday to see us live in person. The whole gang is coming. And watch this review. I put this on probably YouTube too. And we talked about Israel, Palestine. We talked about Web3. We talked about NFTs. We talked about Joe Biden. We talked about Donald Trump.
Oh, Waka Flocka. I didn't say this, but Waka Flocka said he just endorsed Donald Trump. I think it Sexy Red did it at first. It speaks to a very powerful trend that you could see when people are going out their way to already start endorsing a president who, at first, if you stood by him, you would have been so-calledly canceled. The ties have changed.
Well, nobody has ever been canceled. We got to do another state of culture.
Nobody has. Yeah, we definitely got to do that.
The fall state of cancel culture is a myth. There's never been one person in culture that has ever been canceled.
Actually, on my next high level, we talk about this and we break it down so sweet. Watch this one. It's some cold game in there.
So, Keys, always a pleasure, my brother.
Peace to the God. I'm going to see you in Chicago, man. We'll have the soldiers out.
We will be in the building. Shout out to all my family in Chicago. Get your tickets this Sunday. 19 Keys, high-level conversations. Appreciate you. Tap in.
Tap in. Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours, like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more, made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.